Hey, everybody, we're doing this gimmick again where we do a combined version of the late week in the Money Players podcast with our Naira Bets show, brought to you in conjunction with Naira Bets, where you can get a $200 deposit match bonus if you use the promo code MONEY20. Terms and conditions apply. You can check them out on the website, NairaBets.com, or when you download the Naira Bets app. Support our partners at Naira Bets. Once again, NairaBets.com or the Naira Bets app. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. It's a variety show this week. We have an array of guests covering racing across the country, talking about a new fun way to bet the races as well. JK will be here a little bit later on. Brian Skirka of Monmouth Park will be here a little bit later on to talk about a meet there like no other. And we'll also be joined by our old pals from Woodbine, Ernie Perry and Doug McPherson, taking a look at the late pick four at Woodbine. For more Woodbine content, you can check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com as well. Drew Cotney will have his analysis up at some stage. We are going to kick things off on the show this week with a conversation I've been wanting to have ever since we had the opportunity to work with our friends at StableDuel around Breeders' Cup time and the fun that we had putting our teams together. We even did a fun special show with John Camardo and Spencer Lugenbuehl putting our Breeders' Cup teams together. I've been waiting for the launch of the website and waiting and waiting. And now the wait is over. There are games up on StableDuel.com. And to talk about it with me, we bring in from StableDuel, Bree Mott. Bree, how are you today?
I am so good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Looking forward to a great weekend of racing and with some fun new ways to approach the wagering side of things as well. Let me just ask, what's the mood around the StableDuel office? How have things progressed since we last talked about StableDuel? Is this, where does this start date line up with your previous expectations, and how happy are you in general?
Yeah, I mean, we are overjoyed, excited. Obviously, there's some nerves involved, and it's been a long road to get to today, but we couldn't be more pumped to have our launch date be today with Belmont Park, and then obviously this, like, action-packed weekend of, you know, what is 4th of July racing at least Belmont, but we've got Woodbine and Delaware in our app, too. We're excited. This has been a long, fun, interesting, I mean, in any startup or new premise, you know, you've got a lot of ups and downs, but we have such a great team to work with on a daily basis. And we think that we have a great product and we're just excited for people to get involved and play horse racing.
Let's talk about how the games themselves work. What are we looking at in terms of offerings and price points?
Sure. So it's typical to kind of like the fantasy football premise. So you would select your stable. You have 10 horses from one race card. So today we have Belmont Park, and we started out kind of at a lower level so people could get in at a friendly price point. So the entry fee is $5 for the contest. So you can enter as many stables as you want. So you could have 4 stables, $5, cost you $20, and then you pick your 10 horses and you would enter, and game locks at first post. So I think it's 1:15 today, if I'm correct. And you then play the rest of the players and, you know, how our points work, which we don't have to get into today, but you get points for how the horse finishes that you put in your stable, plus or minus. There is minus, which I know is kind of a heated topic, but it makes it really interesting throughout the day, and it gives you a whole day of entertainment for the $5 entry fee, and you get to interact with us on Twitter, which is so much fun, and then other players, and we just think it's a great way to watch horse racing in addition to your regular win, play, show bets and pick fives.
For those who are wondering what the wrinkles are, the differences between contests and this more of a daily fantasy approach, I think that idea of points coming off for poorer performances, that's one very interesting wrinkle, the idea of rewarding picking certain kinds of horses. In this case, I'd say horses with consistency and not just reaching always for upside. I think that's a very interesting idea. And I also like the idea, we talk about our interest as horse players in fixed odds betting. This isn't exactly like that, but the idea that the horses are fixed prices, I think that's kind of a nice reward to be able to get the full credit when you find a horse that you think is a great value set with the stable dual prices. The fact that you're able to get that and that's not going to be affected by a horse that just steams in on the tote. Those are two of the things that I, as a horse player, am particularly interested in trying to factor into my form study, my handicapping when it comes to this stable dual site. What's some of the other feedback you've gotten from players, Bree, about what is interesting and different about the stable dual format?
Yeah, so I think for one, we have had just an overwhelming positive response of the app itself and the sleek design and how the ease of use. So we're happy to turn out a product, and that was one of our kind of most important things, to have an innovative technology that's not kind of the regular type of horse racing tech that people are associated with. So that has been some really good feedback. And then to the points, I remember last weekend I got absolutely just terrible picks. I had a terrible weekend last weekend. My weekend before was pretty good, but part of it was like you just couldn't beat the chalk, and you always want to have some sort of a rebellious or value. This game like allows you to not have to beat the chalk. It just gives you another mindset. So kind of like you said, when you have that $50,000 salary, when you're going through and selecting your 10 horses, you're not able to pick all of those 9-2s, 6-5s, because you don't have enough money. So you have to find those horses with the consistency, like you said. And within our horse detail screen, you can kind of see what we deem like as a risk value or speed value. But you've got to pick something that you think is going to put points on the board for the entire game, or at least not pull points away from you. So you're not playing that same like, oh, well, we can't beat chalk, why am I even trying to bet? You have a different way to look at the full race card. And that's kind of a fun thing to do for horse players and beginners alike, just because they're not having to play against horses that they can't win and they don't really understand. This is like they pick 10 horses and they can see the plus and minus and just enjoy the day. So we do think that the game is made both for the seasoned horse players and the new fans. And we're excited to hopefully bring lots of new fans to the races.
I love the hybrid of that fantasy sports mentality. I personally am not a big daily fantasy sports player for other games, but I do play season-long fantasy baseball. And that's what I'm thinking of when I think about what you need to put into picking these teams. Everybody knows, you know, Mike Trout is one of the handful of best players. The question is, you're not going to be able to afford him in every league that you play in. So how do you exercise your brain to find that guy who might be Mike Trout light in baseball or provide some of the same attributes at a fraction of the cost? This is a way to apply that mentality to horse racing. I love that. I also love that, different from other horse racing contests, that, now correct me if I'm wrong on this, Bree, but I believe from what I was looking at, in a typical event, you're not just paying the top 10% of finishers, you're in many cases going down as far as the top 30% of finishers. I think that's kind of cool and allows you to create more winners along the way. Am I right in that characterization of how these things get paid out?
Yeah. So one of, again, going back to kind of the thought process of the company, and what we want to do is, like, we want you to feel like you're getting value within the game and within horse racing. So we've always said, you know, pick sixes are fun, especially like if you win. But if you did all the time to handicap and you did like me with Come Dancing last weekend, you just singled the first one and then it flunks. It just stinks. It's just a punch in the face. So with this game, you might have flunked your first horse, but you have 9 other horses that can carry the load. So there's value, just at least an emotional value with that. But then same with the financial value. We do want people that, even though that they weren't in the top 10, they are still getting something back for playing our game. Like, we are very happy that they're playing and we want to show our appreciation for that. So yeah, it's not a fixed number of 30%, but it'll be around there, and we have guaranteed pools that can grow. So you'll see the guaranteed and then you'll see current. So if there's more entries than what it took to get to the guaranteed, that pool is going to grow. And obviously we hope that this thing blows up. So if we guaranteed 2,000, I mean, you might go on there and it's a like $10,000 pool. And so then the top 30% would be pulled out of that $10,000.
Very cool. And it sounds like it's going to be a sliding scale, especially these games this first weekend. The prize money is going to be awarded on a sliding scale based on participation. Is that correct?
So it'll be, you know, obviously like the first, however many will get more money than going down. But yes, we're going to, it depends on how many players are playing, and then we'll kind of distribute it based on that and what the money is.
And as time goes on, you'll be getting to see more of those guaranteed purse money and whatnot. One other point I want to clarify about the mechanics of the game. You have 10 horses, but that's not necessarily a horse in each race. You can divide up that team, if I'm reading this correctly. But it's also very important to note that you have to put in your full team of 10 or the entry won't count. Make sure that I'm telling the people that correctly.
Yes, that's correct. So you can have as many horses in one race as you want. So if you wanted to stack, like if you knew that two horses were going to finish first and second, and those were your sure bets on that day, you can pick both of those horses in that race to get the 60 and the 30 and then the points variation on the links for your stable. But then you can pick the other 8 horses in any race that you want. So it's not one horse per race. It's as you just need 10 horses. You can pick them in any order you want. And correct, if you have entered the game and you have paid your $5 entry fee, and then you only built a stable of 8 horses, when that game locks, which is at first post, you will be considered an incomplete stable because you did not have 10 horses, and then you will be pushed out of the game. Obviously, you will get your entry fee back, but you have not then entered the game. So just make sure that after you enter the game that you go back or you select your 10 horses on the first go. And then when you look at your stables, it is in green, which shows that it's complete. If it's in yellow, it's incomplete. And then red means the game's closed and you're out. So yes, 10 horses before first post, very important. Scratches are always a question of people. If there are early scratches, you need to go and make those edits prior to first post. If there are scratches during the day, you can make your change at any point of a next race as long as it's still within your salary confines. So lots of things to pay attention to, but I mean, that's racing for you. If it scratches, you should be paying attention. So we want you to be in the game anyways.
It makes perfect sense. And that following along and getting folks to cross-pollinate and be doing their tote betting along with playing on Stable Duel, it all makes sense to me. Now the really important stuff, it's StableDuel.com. That's D-U-E-L, StableDuel.com. You can play there. And there's also the Stable Duel app. I assume that's one you can get wherever you get your apps, Bree.
Yeah, so just a correction. At the moment, the apps are the only places that you can play. So you can go to StableDuel.com and then click and download the apps on your phone or possibly your iPad. But our web version will be coming out this month so that you can play on a desktop. But at the moment, you've got your iOS and your Google Play. They're ready to go. The games are in the lobby right now. So go sign up, create your account, and then get in the game.
I love it. And more for people who want more from you, because you're a fantastic follow on Twitter. You were talking about the rough week. When you were talking about your rough weekend last weekend, I was envisioning the helmet gif. That was entertaining.
I did. I lost some money last weekend.
Where can folks follow you, and where can they get all the latest information about Stable Duel on social media?
Sure. So you can follow me at BriMott. So it's B-R-I-M-O-T-T. I love to interact on Twitter. Some of my stuff is a little bold, but that's who I am. And then Stable Duel, it can be found anywhere on social media. TikTok too. Don't make fun. We're just starting out. But Stable Duel on Twitter is probably the best place to start out. Yeah.
Very cool. And yeah, follow Stable Duel, follow Bree, and we're going to be talking a lot more as this project continues to get off the ground. Bree Mott, thank you so much for your time today. Godspeed this weekend. You can't keep a good woman down. You will be back in black before too long.
I got some money to burn this weekend, so I'm ready.
Cheers, my friend.
Thank you.
Next up, we are going to bring in the regular co-host of this program. He is coming to us from the planet Texas. He will be on Fox Sports all weekend talking about some really interesting racing. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
I'm chilling, PTF. I'm good. It should be a fun weekend. We have the Irish Derby on as well from like think the coverage is like from like 10 Eastern to noon. I think Acacia is going to be kind of just doing like pop-ins. I think they look like the NBC stuff where they like whatever their broadcast is over there, they'll just pop it in on ours from what I understand. So that should be interesting. Should be a fun day.
Wouldn't be the Irish Derby. It would be, it be the Derby?
The Epsom
Derby.
Wouldn't it be the Derby from Epsom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly I'm not one of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today.
You saved it. We could have almost re-recorded that whole thing between the mute catastrophe right. and getting the name wrong, but now we're leaving it in. Good save.
And then we're on tomorrow or Saturday for the racing from Belmont. So there's some weird like social restrictions for like what like the timings we're supposed to, that I'm allowed to say we're on. But if you watch the Fox show today, or if Pete wants to say it's weird, but anyways, yeah, we're on tomorrow. So
you'll have to, you'll explain that to me off air. It doesn't sound interesting enough, frankly, to bore the listeners with, but there's some sort of stuff. Generally speaking, folks, if Naira Racing is on, you can find it on one of the Fox networks. Other options include your Naira Bets account. You can just go ahead right there. That's how I've been watching the Fox stream or the MSG stream, depending on what it is. It's actually much easier to just pop it on through your Naira Bets account and watch there, because then you don't have to worry about switching channels and whatnot. And then there are other services as well who aren't paying clients, so I won't say their name, but that also give you the ability to watch the Fox Sports feed. And I highly recommend it. I don't always get to watch because there's so much going on. But yesterday I basically just posted up while I was doing my work for the Friday racing and was able to watch for a couple hours. And it's a great combination of insights and also humor. There was some very Acacia had lines that were making me laugh out loud. You had a couple, as did Andy Serling. So it's for me, it clicks all the boxes. I watch it whenever I can. And you can check out JK on there. Are you excited for this weekend? I feel like we've got four pretty interesting stakes races to talk about. I don't think there's a one of these that we can just do in a sentence, as we've been able to do with some of these recent stakes races we've been talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited about it. And I think we talked about Saturday production meeting in the middle of the show. We were going to do the late pick four, but there's five stakes on the day. And I think that one of them earlier in the car, we got to discuss as well.
I love it. Well, let's start there. I haven't looked yet. My work is in progress, in medias res, as it were. I've done the last four races, but why don't you talk me through? And then better yet, for the other work I have to do, JK, assuming you make a compelling case, I'll just steal your opinion for this fifth race we're going to talk about. And I can only assume you're talking about race number three and the grade three victory ride with the return to the races of our friends from Black Type Thoroughbreds and their runner number two, Up in Smoke.
Yeah. Up in Smoke makes her, outside of Florida Stakes debut, and she's undefeated sprinting, and she's got, up against it to a certain extent from a pace standpoint. Frank's Roquette, is probably the one that's going to be on the lead, but she's been, I guess you could say inconsistent at best. Obviously, she's got some big runs, but she's not been the most consistent type. And then also, you notice that Chad's filly Center Isle is in there as well. And she, her pace figures might not look particularly fast because she's only raced twice. And the last time she kind of missed the break, it was out of the race early. So I think there's a world in which she's going to be traveling a little bit swifter early. And Up in Smoke is lacking to a certain extent from a speed figure standpoint. But everyone knows our relationship, my relationship with Jake. And so I'm rooting like hell. So I'm trying to convince myself that she can win this race. And I think she can. Just look, we see horses make jumps up from figures all the time. She's a young, lightly raced 3-year-old who doesn't really do herself any favors early in the race with some real pace to run at on a new racetrack with a new surface going 6.5, which is easier and better for her than 6. I just think she's got an opportunity to run well in here. And I just hope that she, if she can just, come flashing for third or run for second or even get the win, I think it sets her up nicely for the 7-furlong test where she's certain to get pace to close into.
There's some very interesting points to be made about Up in Smoke. One thing that I really like, a lot of times you might see a short field and for a horse like Frank's Roquette, who, you alluded to some disappointing efforts last year. I think she's been very, very good this year as a 3-year-old. But what I really like about this spot for Up in Smoke is that I don't see her, she's not going to compromise running her race to try to beat Frank's Roquette the way that a lot of horses at 7-2 in a short field might think, oh, well, I've got to take on this favorite, and they could end up, you know, paying the price for those exertions. I think Up in Smoke's just going to run her race. And I think there's a very, very good chance that's going to mean running on and getting a little piece that would significantly increase her value. And if others stub their toe or go too fast, she could even win the whole thing. But I love the fact for Connections that they don't have to make a decision to, okay, let's change what we're doing here to get Black Type, or say, hey, we got to be a lot more into this race. We got to take on this favorite early. She can just run her race, do her thing, and we're going to learn a lot more about her. I'm with you. Not sure if I'll even be wagering on this race. If I'm being honest, on TV, I'll probably pick Frank's Rocket, honestly. At a pace advantage, looks like too much to overcome. But my main route in the race will be for Up in Smoke to come on and get a little piece of this thing, and maybe it'll all go right, and she can even get the W. We'll be following with great interest. We've followed Up in Smoke since her career debut, not just because of our friendship with Jake Ballas and our past business relationship with Black Type Thoroughbreds, but just because she's a really interesting runner. You don't often see horses make the kind of runs she's made in some of her first races, and I'm excited to see how she makes out. And with that, I say we move on to this all graded stakes late pick four. It kicks off with the poker, where we see the return to the races of Got Stormy, and we see a couple of Chad Brown runners. I feel like number two, Valid Point, has a good chance to become the latest potential Chad Brown superstar to make a successful return. This one looked terrific last year before the disappointing race at Keeneland. That can be forgiven, as can almost all races preceding a layoff. Just looking at the regularity of the work tab, I'm guessing, no inside info here, but I'm guessing it's all systems go for number two, Valid Point, in this spot. That's where most of my money will be going. JK, how do you see the poker?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt the same way. I mean, I'm not overly creative here. I mean, I'm completely against Got Stormy. I just, you know, she just feels like the type that she's kind of gone the wrong direction off of her unbelievable year last year. Maybe she wants to get back to Saratoga. Maybe she needs it firm. I mean, they scratched her last time when she was supposed to run against Newspaper of Record, which is probably fine because she wasn't going to beat her that day anyways. I just felt like, you know, her races this year just haven't really moved me like they did in the past. And I feel like she's going to be bet off of name recognition, and there's going to be an opportunity to try to beat her. I think Value Proposition is interesting. That horse was a little goofy in the stretch last time, so he might even be a Chad Brown to try to beat. The horses I thought were the most interesting, I mean, obviously Valid Point makes a ton of sense, but that's not overly original and for me to talk about for 10 minutes. But I think Social Paranoia and Hawkish are interesting. I think Social Paranoia getting that cut back to the mile. I think that the mile and 1/16th races that he ran down in South Florida earlier this year were pretty darn good. And I think the mile and 1/8th race that he ran last time when he ran into Instilled Regard, I think this might have just been too far for him. And he was kind of close up to a quick pace going longer than he probably wants to. I think there's a way to forgive him for that. And then Hawkish is a horse that showed some flashes as a 3-year-old that he's going to be a good horse. And obviously has had a lot of trouble getting back to the races. And his race down at Monmouth last year, I thought was pretty good. And he hadn't seen the winner's circle since then, but he seemed to be trending in the right direction at a big price. Gets Manny Franco. I thought Hawkish was interesting. So I'm going to mess around with those two. Social Paranoia will be the official pick, but I think Valid Point makes sense as well. So, you know, in picks and stuff, I'd probably be looking heavy 2, 3, 5. And then, you know, I have to decide what I'm going to do with Value Proposition, but I'm going to try to beat the horse, but I'm not saying I'm going to let the horse beat me.
Got Stormy, you wouldn't use for a penny. Are you telling me that? I was thinking of maybe trying to construct some tickets with Got Stormy as a defensive include, just because she so easily wins this with her A game. But I agree with you. Whether or not we're going to see that A game remains an open question. But you're okay with the 100% fade?
Yeah, I'm going to fade her for sure. If she beats me, she beats me. I just think there's too much value. I mean, in these situations like these, on these big race days, when you know these horses' stories, you know, if this was a 50 claimer, you can't really toss a horse like Got Stormy because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if the horse is well meant on the trot. You don't know. There's no question. But Got Stormy's running 3 races this year. One of them, you could argue they weren't trying to win, which is the race down in Tampa. The race at Santa Anita, trying to win. The race in the Bogey, trying to win. And not only did she get turned away by rushing fall. She got turned away by Call Me Love, who didn't come back and run that well. She got turned away by passing out. So I just, and she's going to be bet. It's New York. People know what happened when she ran in Saratoga. People saw what happened when she ran in the Breeders' Cup. She's got the biggest name recognition of all the horses that are in this race. More than Valid Point, in my opinion, more than Value Proposition. They're going to bet her. She's not going to win. And I'm going to try to make money when that happens. If she beats me, she beats me, like whatever, but there's an opportunity to make some money here.
I don't disagree one bit. And even in my top three selections that I'm going to be giving out through an ADW partner to be named later, I will probably be leaving her out and look very silly if she happens to return to her old form. But you make a lot of good cases. You mentioned Hawkish. I just had a memory, a total tangent. But do you remember watching? It must have been a couple of years ago now when we were taking the boat back from Monmouth with the kids. And we timed it exactly perfectly where we were taking the ferry back and we got to see like the sun setting behind the Statue of Liberty. It was the kind of view that tourists would pay hundreds of dollars for. And we got it for, you know, the 10 bucks on the Sea Streak or whatever. But we had the phone out and we're watching stakes from, I think it was maybe Penn National, and watching Hawkish win that day. Does that ring a bell?
It does. I do remember that. I remember it was cold up there. Austin had on like this Keeneland hoodie that I got from Keeneland. He had this Keeneland hoodie on. Then I had to take my jacket off for him. I was freezing. They were out of beer. It was a rough go.
Out of beer. I remember smuggling on beer that we bought at the Carton Brewery on the way back.
Well, maybe they were out of beer on the way up. Maybe that. I don't remember. Anyways, I've been on the Sea Streak before. They were out of beer, and I do remember that.
Let's talk about race number 9, one of the annual highlights of the NIRA season. It used to be the featured race on a holiday weekend back when it was Memorial Day. It now takes center stage on the 4th of July. It's the Grade 1 Metropolitan. I'm psyched for this race, JK. There's so many ways one can go. And I say that, and yet I'm going to give you the two favorites that I really think are the ones I want to be pressing through these picks. Code of Honor just looks like a horse who's taken another step forward at age 4. And I feel like the last race, we talked last time about, or recently, about Midnight Bisou and the idea of visually impressive and then the clock says meh. Well, I feel like with Code of Honor, this was one that was incredibly visually impressive and the time figures backed it up. I think he's going to take a lot of downing. I ain't losing to number 3, McKinsey, though. Just, you know, you don't really need me to make the case. Very obvious win candidate. May have even won this race with a clean journey last year and just been so consistent in proving himself at the top levels. I feel like the mile hits him right between the eyes as well. I feel like even though I can understand making a case for the others, there's going to be a whole lot of 3-5 and 5-3 on my tickets in the Met Mile. What do you think?
You know, I think that there's a couple of horses that there needs to be a conversation about. And I just, you know, you got to figure out how this opinion fits in what you're trying to bet. I think Endorsed ran way too good to be ignored last time against Code of Honor. I know he doesn't have the name recognition that Code of Honor and McKinsey and Coma and the others have, but I mean, he ran really, really well. And it's, you know, this horse showed, he let us know back in August of 2018, hey, I might be a great horse. When he won on debut as a big horse that wasn't supposed to win on debut, when he beat Ahead of Plan, he let everyone know, hey, guys, I might be good. Then he came back and he kind of confirmed that a few times. Obviously, he had a lot of starts and stops, so he had some issues for Kieran. It seems like Mott's kind of got him going in the right direction now, and he's won two winning races in a row for Bill Mott. This horse has an opportunity to continue to improve, so you know, thinking it's just between those top three and kind of throwing this one out, I think would be kind of a mistake. I don't think he deserves to be used equally with Code of Honor, McKinsey, or Vekoma, but I do think he deserves to be used if you're betting efficiently. And Warrior's Charge is another one. I'm just really excited to see what he's going to do. I mean, you know, with my new kind of found hypothesis that one-turn races play more to stamina than not, he has one-turn mile speed. And he's shown the ability to carry that speed effectively in winning races at a mile and an eighth and longer. In the Preakness, he ran huge. And then also he ran huge last time when he got beat in the Oaklawn Handicap. So this idea that shorter is going to be better for him is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the stamina-driven one-turn mile is going to be better for him. And I'm very interested to see how he runs. I love it when fast horses are owned or trained by people that think like horse players. Like, there's no question in my mind that
10 Strike Racing and Brad Cox are going to have this horse out on the front end on the lead, if not on the lead, or at least sitting right off of Mr. Freeze. And so I think he's going to run well. Now, he's still kind of second tier to me just because I think the others are so good. I'm going to be against Vekoman here. I just feel like he, you know, he ran huge last time. I'm not a bounce guy. He's coming back off of 4 weeks. I feel like this is kind of a race they have to be in. And I just think that McKenzie was being primed for this. He was brought back. I would think if McKenzie was brought back for one race this entire year, it was this one. Mm-hmm. And so we know what Baffert does with a goal and with a target. He got him the easy prep in the triple bin. I think McKenzie should have probably won last year. No disrespect to Mattoli. And so I think McKenzie's going to run well here. And I think Code of Honor just could be a freak. You know, we heard Maggie Wolfendale's interview with Shug on the show on Thursday. And Shug said, which is a thing I remember, I was against Code of Honor and the Travers because he was coming back quickly. And I remember Shug saying, the reason I felt that way is because Shug was like, he's a light horse. And so I have to take it easy on him because he's so light, he'll lose too much weight. And Shug said in the interview yesterday that he realized that that was a mistake. This horse likes to be trained despite the fact that he's light. I'm going to train him and I'm going to run him. And that's what he's doing with him. He's back in 28 days. Shug mentioned that he leaned on him a little bit in between those days. I think Code of Honor is going to run well. And I think Code of Honor is my pick.
I like it. And you make a good case for Endorsed, especially if there's a massive price discrepancy between the two. I also agree. So I like the idea of maybe getting some small backups with Endorsed. I like the idea of getting some small backups with the Warriors Charge, who I do agree has the chance to be the best speed. And that was a grade one winning effort last time from him. I think he is going to achieve at the highest levels. I think it's just a little tricky when he's got two like McKenzie and Code of Honor at the top of the class, who are, I think, pretty clearly laid out for this. But it wouldn't surprise me, and I want to have that possibility somewhere. And I thought you made a very good case to maybe tread a little carefully with Vekoma, as much as we like him as an individual as well. Let's talk about race 10. It's the grade one Manhattan that Chad Brown has won many, many times, and he's got several live chances to do it this year. I'm going to go crazy and pick a non-Chad Brown horse that I think should be double-digit odds. I give number three Cross Border a chance here to wire this field for Mike Maker. Even though Chad has the three runners, he is not a team tactics guy a lot of the time. He has the trip that he tends to like for his horses to get. And I think there's a world in which Cross Border at double digit odds is allowed to go out there and there'll be an assumption that he's going to come back to the pack and he could be alone on the lead at a pace call at the pace call. And that's the type of head start at double digit odds that I'm interested in. Of the Brown crew, I'm going to use Rock Emperor almost close to equally, I think, to Cross Border. This one very unlucky, I thought, last time, not to cross the line first, having pace dynamics against and you know, the bump that he got DQ'd for, but it didn't do his closing run any favors. Rock Emperor is still definitely on the way up, and if he's 4-1 or higher, he really will become a co-first choice. I do think there's a world in which they just come for him and crater his price too, though. I like it. 3-2, 2-3 in the Manhattan. JK, what are your numbers?
I'm going to try to beat Chad in here too. I mean, I've never really thought Instilled Regard is that good. And when he won last time, I just, you know, I used him defensively and he won, but I just don't think he's that good. Rock Emperor, I thought he was supposed to win that race regardless last time. He didn't. That's fine. United's a good horse. He's, you know, stakes placed, Breeders' Cup placed. But you know, it just doesn't necessarily like, just doesn't really like move me. Saddler's Joy, he needs three turns. He just doesn't run well at Belmont. Devamani, got a huge setup last time. I don't really need him. Channel Makers is interesting. I was against Channel Maker last time. I feel like he's trending in the wrong direction, but he was 3-1 last time. He's 10-1 morning line this time. He's definitely a horse I would use as a B type in here. I still think he's probably trending in the wrong direction, but he's a B type for me. I am
so tired of his act. Yeah, hasn't hit the board in a million years.
I'm going to try to just use two A horses in here in Cross Border and Dot Matrix. You know, Cross Border is one that I felt like he, you know, the last race was kind of a prep allowance race mile, 31 days out to get him doing what Mike Maker does best, which is long on the turf. Mike Maker, I'm going blank on who Maker almost won a race with recently where he got loose in a turf race. I can't remember which one it was, but it was recently at Belmont for whatever reason. And he, I think he had Jose up too. So I just like the idea that Maker doesn't jack around in these turf races that are long with horses with speed. I think he's going to put this horse in the race. I think Cross Border is going to be tough in here. My official pick will be Dot. And look, it's a phenomenal story. For Marshall and Clay at 10 Strike, you know, having, you know, claimed and on Dot and having the success they've had with this horse. But, and I, hopefully Marshall doesn't mind me saying this, but he got a call from Brad after this race, and Brad was extremely excited and suggested that we have a, you guys should be very happy. We got a grade one type horse long on the turf. And he ran well last time, despite getting beat by that bomb, but he ran well. I think that Dot is going to be set with value and a great opportunity to run well. I just don't feel like Saddler's Joy, Instilled Regard, Devamani, or Rock Emperor are just like that much better. And they're all going to likely be a shorter price than Dot. So I'll take Dot as my best closer, or not, you know, arguably the best closer, and Cross Border is a horse that'll be on the front end. And I'll use those Chad horses defensively and try to be alive to some B situations if I can, but I'm going to try to beat those horses.
I'm trying to help you out and find your horse. I
can't remember what race it was.
Was it definitely Jose? Was it a stake? And where did the horse? I'm looking at all the, through the magic of DRF Formulator, I'm looking at all the Mike Maker runners for the last 30 days. So yeah. If you give me a little more, I can probably find it pretty quickly.
I want to say that, oh my gosh, I cannot remember. It doesn't really matter. And I know
it's trivia.
Because I remember I bet the horse. Oh, Sound Like a Hot Brown.
There you go.
Sound Like a Hot Brown. There you go.
That was the Fort. That was in the Fort Marcy.
Yeah.
And the horse won. No, the horse ran third. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong line. 11-1. It was Cancel Up in the Fort Marcy. I mean, similar idea. And, you know, it never takes very much for us to be convinced to use Mike Maker runners. And I feel like that when you have that lone speed that you could just see other when they're long. I like them so much more when they're long shots. And I feel like it just changes the dynamic and makes people less likely to want to chase them and therefore potentially maximizes the advantage. I was napping on Dot. I mean, I know Dot's a great horse, Dot Matrix. But I wasn't sure about for this spot, but you've kind of convinced me to try to get some Dot Matrix in on these tickets as well.
I think it's an important point, right? I mean, look, I feel very fortunate in my relationship with Marshall and Clay to have these types of conversations and whatever. But, you know, I think this is an important note that, like, although all these information that we see in these past performances, and we can use Time Form, you can use DRF Formulator, you can use Stats Racelens, you can use voodoo that you want to use, workout reports, all those things. But it's all a game of gathering information and understanding what's happening better. And, you know, listening to Steve Bick's show, listening to Talk Racing to me with Naomi. I don't really have these conversations that much on JK Plus One, but listening to Maggie's interviews and Maggie's commentary in the paddock and Andy saying that he talked to so, like all these things. They're little nuggets that can just help you make decisions when it comes time to make decisions. And so, you know, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're doing that. You're immersing yourself in it, in this game that we all love, and just trying to pick up those little itty bitty things that will help you in the long run. And for me, that was that one little thing, is just Brad being that confident. You know, Brad doesn't blow smoke with those guys. He tells them like it is. And the fact that he was confident in how Dot ran that day, and it makes me happy for them to, you know, for them to run him and then him to come back and run him in a grade one. It just, it makes me feel good that the horse could run well here.
It feels like the kind of race where you want, I'm just going to say, a quote unquote stranger. They're not really strangers, but just a race where a lot of these biggest names, I'm just kind of tired of the act. Yeah. And that's making me reach for a pace angle. And it makes me think that this idea, I mean, it's not common that you see a horse just take it to a new level ability at seven, but you're going to be more than compensated in price. I like your case very much.
There ain't no bricks and mortar in here, by the way. You know, no. I mean, every horse in here, you could say, ugh. I mean, at some point you've said, ugh, about every horse in here. And Still Regard, ugh. Rock Emperor, ugh. Saddler's Joy, double, ugh, except for that one time he hit in that big 6-4.
He did save our bacon.
Never mind, you can do it. You know, Channel Maker, you can do it with all of them. So find horses that make you say, ugh, less. And for me, it's Dot Matrix and Cross Border.
And or just prices, you know.
Right, that helps.
Let's talk about race number 11, JK. It's the Grade 2 Suburban, the race where we figure out how we're going to get paid. I may regret this. I'm going back to the Tacitus Well. I think the mile and a quarter, and I think the fact that I, even though it wouldn't be predicted to have like a, you know, I'm sure I haven't looked at time form yet for this, but I'm sure it's not predicting a fast pace. But I just think tactically, you could see a Mr. Buff and a Moretti maybe just setting it up a little bit. I don't think that much of the rest of the field. I think the mile and a quarter is a real difference maker. I mean, this is a horse, you know, I love this horse and I wanted nothing to do with him either of the last two starts. So, because I thought they were both going to be too sharp. And if they go slow here and he's a million lengths back, you know, we could have a problem once again. But adding Blinks, being drawn inside with some potential for him to close into, I give him one more shot. And hopefully he's not going to be bet off the boards with everybody thinking that. Of that potential speed battle, though, I do also want some Moretti in my life here because I could see Moretti sticking to Mr. Buff, taking over, blowing him up on the turn, and kind of forgetting to stop. Well as this one powered away last time. You might say, yeah, the final figure was kind of meh, but those were legitimate fractions being cut out. Again, just the nature of this race, I could see a return to form from Tacitus. I could see Moretti with a pace angle. How are you going to get us paid here, though, in this last leg?
You know, well, first of all, I'm gonna toss Sir Winston as far as I possibly can. I mean, I'm going to keep tossing this horse. He won off one of the, you know, if people say it's one of the greatest rides ever in a Belmont Stakes, and that's like the only race that you're hanging your hat on for the horse to be that he's good, then I'm going to keep fading him. I mean, he got a beautiful trip on a biased racetrack from Joel Rosario. I'm going to keep trying to beat him. Mr. Buff's never gone this far before. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. You know, he got that name for a reason. He's a big strapping horse. So really cool New York bred. Someone said on the show yesterday, I think it was maybe Richie, that at one point there wasn't very many millionaires were New York breds. And now it feels like kind of a norm now. Mr. Buff, 55, who won yesterday. So always rooting for the underdog story there with those horses who maybe aren't underdogs anymore. But so it's interesting to see how he's going to handle the mile and a quarter. And you're right, Moretti ran well last time in his first kind of journey going long. And, you know, he's got that outside draw. He doesn't have to hook up. He can sit off of Mr. Buff. I don't think they're going to go very fast in here. And I got to be honest with you. Sorry, Bill Mott. I'm sure you're listening. Sorry, Bill Mott. But I'm just going to keep hoping Tacitus keeps losing and I can just get him at 10-1. I just want to run second here. I want him to run second in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I want him to run third in the Whitney. And then I want to bet him at 20-1 in the Classic. He's going to win a Grade 1 race going a mile and a quarter if they keep this horse in training. He is unbelievably unlucky. And when you continue to be unlucky like this, you got to think a lot of it's your own doing. They're putting the blinkers back on. He's down on the rail. I mean, he's going to get shuffled. I mean, he has to get shuffled here. Then he's going to have to – he might win, but he's not going to win with me betting him here. And it's not even because I just think that he can't. It's just that I'm just going to kind of wait. It reminds me a little bit of Forever Unbridled. When she beat Songbird, I remember we talked, I think we had Pipes on that week, and we talked about like, I can't wait. Forever Unbridled is going to win a big race. I just don't want it to be this one. I want it to be later. And then I wanted to try to beat Songbird. I just didn't want it to be this one. I wanted it to be later. And so Tacitus might win, but I'm going to hold out for a better opportunity. I'm going to still keep trying to beat him.
So Moretti is the only one you're looking to use against him?
I'll use Mr. Buff. I'll use Moretti. But yeah, I think it's going to be a forwardly won race. I think it's a mile and a quarter race on the dirt. I think it's going to be one of those top two horses on the front end who gets the job done.
Reasonable. I was thinking Mr. Buff was going to have trouble staying, but that's not really based on anything but a gut feeling. We will see how it plays out. Like we said, it's a really exciting sequence of races. I told you we might just blow through this in 15-20. We took half an hour with barely any tangents.
Isn't it interesting about stuff? Mr. Buff? And look, I'm not saying this is a guaranteed. I'm just saying that he's won mile and an eighth races by 9 lengths, by 5 lengths, by 4 lengths. By 3 lengths. He in these mile and eighth races, he runs 7 lengths. He runs like he could go further, but I understand that that's not an automatic. It just should be the other ones are stopping, you know?
Yeah. I think it's the double. There's three things that I don't like. The distance, just, I have a gut feeling it's not based on anything. the class. I mean, that is based on something. And then there's the price. I mean, a 2-1 on the morning line. Sheesh, I can't get.
I think he'll be higher than that. Moretti's going to come down. Tacitus is going to be the favorite. And Sir Winston's going to waste a lot of people's money.
I am totally with you on Sir Winston. He'll stuff us in a locker if he gets the job done here. It wouldn't be the first time, let's put it that way, but I'm absolutely with you. All right, JK, we've got a lot of other guests on the show. It's this variety show we're doing. So I'm going to let you get out of here. Quick closing thought from you before we bring in our next guest.
Fun weekend ahead. Fun weekend, good racing. It's a Met Mile Day. I'm looking forward to that. I'm rooting like hell for our friends at Black Type Thoroughbreds for Up and Smoke, and rooting like hell for our friends at 10 Strike Racing with Warriors Charge and Dot Matrix. So I've got my Up and Smoke pictures up in the background. I got my Warriors Charge picture up in the background. So we'll be rooting for those guys.
All right, my man. We will see you on TV. And now I'd like to welcome back to the In the Money airwaves two of the handicapper slash horse players whose opinions I always want to hear when I'm betting at Woodbine. We've got Ernie Perry and Doug McPherson. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, Peter. Thanks for having us on today.
And I understand there was a little wager from the last time you guys were on. Has that debt been paid yet?
Yeah, there's been several more, and I've lost all of them to the kid there. So he's up about two or three on me.
I can't cash a bet when money's on the line, but when it's coffee or lunch, I'm 1-9 every time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we have any opportunities for a head-to-head on this late pick four sequence on the 4th of July Saturday, highlighted by two stakes races. And we start with one of them. We've got the Queenston Stakes. This is 7 furlongs on the synthetic. And as the reigning champion, Doug, I think we'll start with you and your thoughts on this one. Now, last time you guys were on here, you both chalked out pretty good, which I know isn't either of your usual default modes. Let's see what happens this time around. Doug, is this one where you think it's the ones at the top of the market, or are you going to try to get a little creative?
I think this is a pretty competitive race. I'm really excited for this one. I think Mike DiPaolo has two really interesting horses, especially number 4, Ennis the Menace. He was extremely impressive to me when he won his debut. He was dead game. He lost the lead but then fought back. You don't see many first-timers win that way. So I'm really high on that one. Golden Wave is another nice one for DiPaolo, who came off an easy maiden win. And then there's the two obvious, Halo Again and Dotted Line. The Asmussen Shipper and Sid's horse that won 2 stakes last year. But I think those two DiPaolo horses are both very interesting at decent prices.
Ernie, how do you see it?
Well, I'm going to give you two horses here. Halo Again is an obvious, dropping from Grade 3 company, and he's won here before. But I really like Deviant. My only issue with Deviant was I was waiting for this horse to come out, and I'm talking based on works now. This horse worked with De Deneu, just won a recent maiden. Western Taffy worked with this one, just won a 2 other than, and worked with another filly called Chart. So all three nice horses, and this horse held his own. Now, he's had stakes experience, but, I mean, this wasn't the spot I was looking for him to come into the bet, per se, but I'll throw him in there as a long shot. So I'll go with Halo Again and Deviant, and I think Deviant will be a good price. The horse is training lights out. It's just a question of the company, but other than the top two, I think the horse can sneak in there.
It does look like there is going to be a fast pace here, and maybe that could set up for a late run from the likes of Deviant. So perhaps if you're getting compensated in price and might get a favorable pace scenario, it could be worth taking a shot on one you're not sure how they're going to class up.
Yeah, like I said, he's training phenomenally, and he's been working very, very well, and it's Mark Cassie, so you can't put anything past the bar. And first-time gelding could be the key as well.
Well, we've seen that angle paying a lot of dividends lately, so it's absolutely worth considering. Nice one at a price there in Woodbine's 7th race. And let's move on to the graded stakes on the day. It's the Grade 2 Eclipse. We stay on the synthetic, this one going 1 mile and 1/16. And Ernie, we'll keep it with you.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of keying a short-priced horse, but I think if you're going to do it, this is the race. I think Mr. Ritz is a key. The only other one I could see offering a little bit is Cooler Mike, but I'm all over Mr. Ritz in this spot as a key.
Mr. Ritz, who has the best numbers by far coming in, might also have a pace advantage on the Timeform U.S. pace projector. Mr. Ritz looks pretty clear early for Josie Carroll and Patrick Husbands. Doug, do you have any more creativity, or is Mr. Ritz one you'd be looking to single in your pick bets as well?
So Mr. Ritz is a horse that personally I'm a big fan of. I used to work for Josie Carroll a little bit, and this was my favorite horse in the barn. So I'm a huge fan of this horse, but I'm going with the other Josie Carroll here, AB's Flatter. I've made this horse my best bet in the journal. I thought he ran very well with a very poor trip on the inner turf back on June 11th. I really like the addition of blinkers, not because they're going to sharpen him up, but I think he needs to not be able to see other horses. It'll settle them down. And I think if he sits behind, you know, behind Mr. Ritz, and maybe if Uncle Bull goes out to press Mr. Ritz, AB's Flatter could set up perfectly in this race. So I'm a big fan of AB's Flatter in this spot.
Yeah, AB's Flatter is one I've always liked too, and been a little, I don't want to say disappointing, that's too harsh, but maybe hasn't quite achieved the heights many of us were predicting based on the form last spring. But you feel like he might be ready to turn things around at this point and show a new level of ability with the new equipment. Is that a big part of the case? One who's always had talent, and maybe the barn's figured out how to get him to move forward at this stage?
Yeah, I think he's a maturing horse. I think he had a lot of bad luck and unfavorable things in his three-year-old campaign. With a little bit of luck, could have been absolutely dominant, and he just didn't get that kind of luck.
What did you do for the Carroll barn when you were working back there?
I was just walking hots a day or two a week.
That's great. That's so cool. Did you find that working on the backside helped you as a horse player?
No.
Tell me why not.
What happens when you get to know horses is you get stupid personal ideas about them. You know, there's so many horses that I like so much that I've chased based on things I've seen in the barn. And at the end of the day, it's just my feelings affecting my betting, and that's never a good thing.
No, that's right. That's interesting. I mean, I say with and I'm not talking about valuable information like the information that Ernie is providing in his Clocker report with his own eyes, but just things that you hear. I would certainly be a net loser in my life. I have things that I've heard. And Ernie, I'll bring you back in to ask you when it comes to not what you're seeing on the racetrack with your eyes, which obviously provides valuable signal, but with just what you hear on the racetrack, is that anything that provides valuable information to you at any point?
It really is. It's 50-50. Obviously, there was a horse last week from Josie Carroll, first-time starter, Boardroom. You know, I heard a lot about it, and I touted it on a few shows, but I didn't really bet it because, you know, it was more the hearsay. If I'm going to bet something that I see, and at least if I go wrong, I only have myself to blame. I won't be cursing anybody else to give it to me and say, why do I listen when I should be listening to myself? So, but there is some valuable information. You know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of sharp people, a lot of trainers. They give good information, some don't. So I take it with a grain of salt, but mostly it's what I see. And this way, if I go wrong, I only have myself to blame.
Well, I think that makes perfect sense. Let's move on in this pick four to race number nine. We've got a 3-and-up allowance going 6.5 on the synthetic. Ernie, what do you like in this one?
So I like Muskoka Sun, Walkabout Creek, Chuck Willis, and Free Speech. We'll start out with Muskoka Sun. Finished a nice second, closing up on the pace, just lost by a nose. Walkabout Creek is obviously stepping up, but is quick and has the big buyer numbers. I don't know if 6.5 is the optimum distance for this one. Looks like a 5.5 specialist, but could be wrong. Free Speech is one that has been working very, very well. Again, big step up in company from Hastings, but I would not leave the horse off my ticket. I might take an all in this race, but I would definitely include that one as a long shot.
So more of a spread race for Ernie in race number nine. Doug, what do you think?
So I agree that this could be a spread race. I think there's a lot of live prices in here. Ernie described Walkabout Creek as stepping up in class. I disagree. I think this is an easier race. Most of those horses that were in that starter allowance have already, you know, won this A other than condition a long time ago. I like Speedy Bolt for Buttigieg. I think that's a very promising young three-year-old. He looks like he could be any type. Muskoka Sun is interesting. Obviously, Tale of Vienna comes out of the same race as Muskoka Sun, was closing third in a race where the pace did not fall apart at all. So I think that one has a shot. Even Epilogue at a big price on the outside. He got beat a length by Constantino, a 10-year-old that's won 16 races last year. So, and Chuck, we haven't talked about Chuck Willis, who, you know, just romped on the front end with a 92 Beyer last time. So this is a really wide open race.
If I hold your feet to the fire, Doug, to give a selection, how would you respond?
Speedy Bolt.
Speedy Bolt for Doug. A little bit more of a spread situation for Ernie. But Ernie, if you were to rank those picks, would you say you'd give them in the order in which you discussed them?
Yeah, I'll again, not to be chalky, but the chalk could be a decent 3-4-1 in this one. So I'll go Muskoka Sun if I had to take one, and then throw in, obviously Chuck Willis is got a big buyer, but I would go Muskoka Sun.
All right, let's move on to the 10th race. We get on to the turf, 7 furlongs, maidens, 3 and up. Doug, how are we going to get paid in this late pick 4 sequence?
So I'm looking at a first-time starter here that I'm sure Ernie can tell us a bit about to the inside, another Josie Carroll horse called Belichick. I heard some good things about this one over the winter when I was at Palm Meadows. I've heard a bit more from other people since we've come back here, and yeah, apparently the horse is okay. You know, this looks like it could be a massive weekend for the Josie Carroll barn, just one of those weekends where everything they touch just can't be beat. And if this first-timer lives up to the hype, you know, I don't think he's got to beat a ton in this race.
Ernie, what do your eyes tell you about this Josie Carroll first-time starter in the last at Woodbine on Saturday?
Yeah, so this one back on June 14th worked with that aforementioned Bird Room from the gate, and that one actually romped. So from all things and hearing from my other clockers and people actually sitting the horse as a monster of a horse, and you know, he obviously could go off as favorite. Myself, I'm going to stick to my guns. I've been waiting for this horse, just like Larry, to come out. I know he's a 10-time maiden, but his last 3 works have been brilliant. And I've been waiting for this one to come out all year. And that's where I'm going to land. I'm going to take my shot with Just Like Larry.
No questions about the layoff, I would imagine, based on that impressive work tab. What is your general approach to these career maidens, Ernie? Do you ever get to a point sometimes where you say, okay, they've had enough chances, they're just a nibbler, or are you trying to just evaluate information in real time as it comes to you?
I mean, this horse has always worked well, but I'm going to give it, this is my last shot, I'm going to give this one just the fresh angle, coming fresh with those works. It'll be the last time I do play this horse if he doesn't win. But like I said, I'm only going, I know I see a lot of the starts, but I'll go just on the fresh angle alone, and this will be the last time I give that one a shot.
I like it. Which of these races should we make you guys go head-to-head? I want to keep that. I want to keep the sandwich or coffee tradition alive. Is there one spot in particular? And Doug, you know, as since you hold the belt, we'll let you maybe issue the challenge. Is there one of these races where you think we can keep this thing going?
Well, how about this? I'll give Ernie a bit of an edge here. We'll take the 2 Josie Carroll horses in the Eclipse. He can have Mr. Ritz, my favorite horse, and I'll take A.B. Slatter.
You probably can't say no to that, right? Can you, Ernie? Yeah, because you're getting the best of it in terms of prices.
No.
Excellent. Well, there you go. It's a Josie Carroll matchup, if you will, for Ernie and Doug. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out today. We're going to have you back on soon. Before you go, though, Ernie, we'll start with you. Where can folks get more information from you, social media or on the Woodbine website?
Yeah, on the Woodbine website, and search Clocker Report, and also Woodbine Clocker on Twitter, at Woodbine Clocker.
And Doug, where can we find more of your work?
My handicapper's journal is on woodbine.com/handicapping. You can find it, as well as quite a few other good handicappers on there. Emily Gullickson, Jeff Brett, Jason Portawando, and I'm on Twitter at LD McPherson.
There you have it, folks. Thank you guys so much. Godspeed this weekend, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to welcome back to the In the Money airwaves a frequent guest from the last year and a half or so, and a guy I'm proud to call a friend as well, one of those contest directors I'm always singling out. I say singling out. There's 3 I mention all the time, but who just do such a good job keeping players' interests at heart. And this is a big day for the man I'm about to bring in with Monmouth Park opening. Brian Skirka, how are you doing, my friend?
Pete, I'm doing really well. Thank you for the kind words, and I send them right back at you. And it is it's a big day. It's a weird day, but we're happy that racing's getting back going today.
We'll start off. I understand it's an issue that's in somewhat of flux, so we won't get into too many of the brass tacks of it. We'll talk to you more about it when you come back. But there will be fans at Monmouth Park today. I'm sure there was a lot that's gone into that, and that feels like a significant healing moment as far as I'm concerned with the first sporting event anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard to actually have fans in attendance. Tell us what you can about what's going on there.
Yeah, like you said, it's still, even at this late hour, it's still very much in flux. But we, you know, casinos can have people in New Jersey, and racetracks and casinos have always kind of been lumped into the same group. So we absolutely expect that we will be allowed to have fans tonight when we start at 5 o'clock. You know, that's kind of a newsworthy thing too for today. Our Friday post times all throughout the year start later at 5 o'clock. Kind of a twilight kind of thing going on the Jersey Shore. But we definitely expect to have people here. An exact number, you know, I don't know that I can give you that at this point, both in terms of, you know, how many people will be comfortable to come out. You know, it's a holiday weekend, so we're kind of, you know, a number of people on site is anyone's guess at this point. But like you said, there's plenty of tracks out there that aren't allowed to have fans, that haven't had fans for a long time. I mean, the Belmont Stakes, the Triple Crown race didn't have fans. So for us to open our season tonight and to have, you know, anyone here is a very welcome sight.
What can you tell us about the safety protocols that you have in place to make sure that obviously, you know, that's at the foremost of everybody's thoughts, conducting these events in a safe way. What will be different as far as those protocols go?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty standard in terms of things that you've seen at any, you know, sporting event that might be happening, any restaurant or any, you know, public place. The, you know, heavy signage, please stay 6 feet apart, masks on at all times. You know, you're going to have to get your temperature checked when you come into the track. There's a brief questionnaire, you know, have you been around anyone who's sick, stuff like that. So we'll check you as you come in. You know, you have to have a mask to come in, obviously. Once you're in, you have to stay 6 feet apart. You know, social distancing is the phrase of the year, it seems like. So, and obviously, you know, attendance is going to be limited. You know, we're not going to be able to have, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people here, which in its own right will keep people separated from each other. So inside areas, we're kind of an interesting place, and I'm sure this is why everything is still in flux and it's tough to make a decision, because unlike a casino, obviously, which is all inside, you know, we're probably more outside than inside. So, you know, the inside rooms are a little bit easier in the sense that, you know, okay, 25% capacity. If a room normally fits 100 people, now it can fit 25. That's relatively easy. But for all of our outside dining areas or our expanded picnic area, you know, that's a little challenging that something like a casino doesn't have to worry about. But, you know, we're going to keep you separated. We're going to, you know, we have hands all throughout the facility for the patrons that will be here. You know, things like you know, the plastic shields in front of a teller or ticket writer, both in the sports book and the racetrack, all the self-service machines being sanitized all throughout the day, kind of the normal routine that we're used to in places. But we'll make sure that everyone comes here is very safe and has a great time, as always.
Is it a bring your own sanitizer situation, or will there be extra stuff around in terms of sanitizing stations?
There's definitely extra stuff. I mean, I think like most places, again, you know, we kind of encourage to bring your own, and it's, you know, if you feel safe bringing your own, certainly do that. But if you forget, don't have it, you know, don't think of it. You know, there are, even just walking around looking at stuff today, there's sanitizing stations. You know, it'll be hard to miss. There's a lot of them.
We're hoping to get down at some point. So it's great to hear this.
Yeah, and anything that, you know, we're following the governor's office's, you know, protocols to the letter, basically, and then some. You know, I think we've even added some protocols that might not be mandated, but we're erring on the side of safety. We don't want, the last thing we want is to bring people together at a racetrack to, you know, have a good time and end up with somebody getting sick. So we're going to do even more than we have to.
I want to talk a bit more about these 5 o'clock post times. I love that idea. I feel like one of the racing as an industry was able to learn in the pandemic was the idea of being creative and trying to be on at times where, you know, you're not going to be the only thing on a Friday night between 5 and 7. But I do think you're going to be in pretty good position to capture attention of folks betting the late part of the Belmont card, the early part of California as we go forward. What thought processes went into these Twilight Fridays?
Yeah, it's kind of an experiment. You know, we as you know, Pete, at Monmouth Park, whether it's contests, really anything, you know, we're never afraid of trying something. And, you know, if it doesn't work, we try something else. So even before all the COVID stuff, we were going to do this. And we kind of looked at our Fridays, our normal Fridays in the past, and they were nothing special going back years, you know. Very limited attendance and handle was nothing great. So we said, you know, this is a kind of a, we have a little bit of built-in insurance because if God forbid, you know, going to 5 o'clock totally fails, it's not like we're taking a day that's a huge success anyway and bringing it to something that didn't work as well. So we're going to try it. It was before COVID. It was actually kind of more of an attendance play where it was going to be branded as like Friday night happy hour, start your weekend kind of thing with, you know, maybe some live music and drink specials and try to get more people here. That obviously has changed in the last few months. So now we kept it. And now, like you said, it's kind of, you know, maybe we'll use Belmont as a lead in, or if, you know, someone's playing Del Mar next weekend or when Del Mar opens, you know, we'll be running at the same time and we'll see. You know, I don't really know that anyone has any expectations. We're cautiously optimistic and we'll kind of look back after a few weeks or after the season's over and hopefully we think it turned out to be a good decision. But if for some reason we realize that it wasn't, then we'll go back to the drawing board.
I'm excited personally. It would be we will probably target to try to get down there at some stage to enjoy everything going on and do something a little bit different. But I think it has the potential to work really well, especially hopefully as things continue to trend in this part of the country back in a positive direction. I definitely get it as an attendance play. I want to talk about the general meet schedule. What days are you, what are your days and post times moving forward?
So starting today, we run Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday post time, as I mentioned, every Friday is 5 o'clock until we get to, I think it's September 4th, which is Kentucky Oaks Day. We'll start at 12:50 that day so that we're running, you know, at the same time as the Oaks. That Oaks Day is our last Friday. I think that's the Friday of Labor Day weekend. And then we do run Labor Day Monday, and then we run just Saturday and Sunday in September through the end of September, the 27th. So we're Friday, Saturday, Sunday from now until Labor Day. Friday post time, 5 p.m., other than that last Friday, which is Oaks Day, then Labor Day Monday, and weekends through September. Weekend post time is the same as it always is, 12:50, 10 minutes to 1 Eastern.
Haskell Day is when?
Yes, Haskell Day is, as amazing as it is, and this is kind of like a shake-your-head thing. So opening day is today. Haskell Day is 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay,
which
wow.
Is very, very weird. So Saturday, July 18th, is Haskell Day, and obviously with everything different in the racing world, it's now a Derby prep. It's not it's not the fourth leg of the Triple Crown, you know, after the Belmont. But we're excited about that. I mean, we think that there's a lot of horses out there. You know, all you have to do, like it's an easy task. Obviously, it's not easy. But if you run first or second in the Haskell, you know, if you run first in the Haskell, you're in the Derby. If you run second in the Haskell, you know, you got a fighting shot depending on points and that kind of thing. So we think that we're going to have, you know, a bigger field, and people are going to be coming from all over to run in a $1 million race, a Grade One. You know, we put out a $1 million bonus. If you win the Haskell Derby and Breeders' Cup Classic, you win $1 million. So we think that we're very well positioned to have a big Haskell field.
I shouldn't ask you this question because I don't know that you could really answer it even if you knew the answer. But as a racetrack marketing guy, how excited are you by any prospect of Bob Baffert and Gamin possibly making the next start in the Haskell?
I mean, that would be very exciting for sure. Anything that I have heard, and it hasn't been a lot. I mean, I haven't heard anything in a couple of weeks, but I think Authentic might be the Baffert horse that was mentioned for Haskell at this point. But you know, if Gamin decides to take a shot off that race, I mean, that was one of those like holy bleep races where you're like, boy, what are we watching at this moment? I really do think that this is going to be, it's going to be a very different Haskell. A lot of times Haskell was, you know, we're hoping to get the Derby winner, or, you know, in American Farrow year, Triple Crown winner. And, you know, a lot of times that horse is going to be a very short price and they have star power, but as a betting race, you know, Rachel Alexander was 1-5. Big Brown was 1-5. You know, this year, I don't think there's going to be any 1-5. You know, this might be the year where there's a 10 or 12 horse Haskell and it's a wide open race, which will be fun.
It's going to be exciting to see how it plays out. Couple more quick ones for you. We've talked in the past about fixed odds in Monmouth. Is there going to be any further developments down those lines that you can tell us about right now?
There definitely is going to be. I can't give you a definitive date. That is something that's still in the regulation process. We're hoping that it would be up and ready to go today, actually. But I think our next hope is for Haskell Day. But it definitely is something that is, we're very close to offering. And that'll be really exciting. I mean, you'll be able to come to Monmouth Park and bet, you know, as you always have through Paramutuals. You can go in the sports book and bet, you know, any sport that's offered, you know, through William Hill. And then right in the same area, we'll be able to have the fixed odds wagering where you can come in, you know, you can come in Friday morning and look up at the tote board and see 5-2 and walk over to a fixed odds machine and see 4-1 and lock it in.
That's very cool.
So that'll and be,
folks can probably hear in the background, Muggsy the Handicapping Labrador, particularly excited about the idea of fixed odds betting. She's barking her way through. Well, we'll have more updates on the fixed odds as they come, but I would be remiss in my hosting duties if I didn't ask you about Monmouth's Pick Your Prize contest and if there might be able to be some version of that for 2020. What's the latest on that event that's proved so popular with players over the years?
Yeah, I'm happy to announce that we will be able to have a Pick Your Prize this year. It's not going to be on site. You know, I'm holding out hope that maybe by August, September, we'll be allowed to have, you know, enough people here to safely do on-site handicapping contests. Maybe we'll do some of our smaller ones. But for Pick Your Prize, even if we did know exactly what we'd be allowed on site, I don't know that I feel right, you know, asking people to fly from all over the country here for a handicapping contest. So we're going to do it online. It's going to be Saturday, July 25th, so the week after the Haskell. I think that's 3 weeks from tomorrow. It's going to be through TVG and ExpressBet. And obviously, if you're a New Jersey resident, TVG means 4NJ bets, but anywhere else in the country is TVG or ExpressBet. And we are hopefully days, if not even hours, away from having everything tied up and ready to announce and email everyone. And basically, you know, you'll call me, sign up with me, and then you could either pay me directly, or if you're playing through ExpressBet, you can pay through your ExpressBet account. But we'll have all of that, you know, tied up and emailed out to everybody hopefully by early next week at the absolute latest. But for now, if you're interested and you've played before, you're a Pick Your Prize fan, you know, I would pencil in Saturday, July 25th.
Fabulous.
That looks like it's gonna be the day.
That's great news. We're getting to break news here on the podcast. I always love that. Well, Brian, we're wishing you the best of luck this meet and beyond, and hopefully we'll have a chance to bring you back on soon. Monmouth, one of the first partners we ever had on the show. We don't technically have a business situation going at this point. I just wanted Brian to come on because he's a friend and does such good things for horse players, and I think horse players just need to be aware of what's going on at this meet. But hopefully there's going to be a lot more Monmouth content on these airwaves soon. Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate it, and I'm very hopeful that the day that we're able to get back into a business relationship, it'll happen. So I appreciate you having me on.
If not, we'll just talk to you as a pal somewhere down the line this meet, whatever we need to do. All right, Brian, great times expected at Monmouth, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Pete.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I'd like to thank Bree Mott and our latest partners over at StableDuel. Super excited to be working with them. We will thank JK. You can catch him on Fox Sports all weekend doing the work that he does. Thanks also to our partners, Naira Betts. Thanks to Doug and Ernie and all our friends at Woodbine, especially Eric Parenti. And thanks to Brian Skirka at Monmouth as well.
as ever. We give props to our friends at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. You ever hit a nice bet, want to give something back, essentially leave us a tip for the work that we do on here, don't worry about us. Give it to our founding partners over at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, taking care of horses after their racing days are done and helping humans as well. TRFinc.org/players. To our buddies at 10 Strike Racing, big weekend for them. Lots of grade one action. Godspeed, Marshall, Clay, the rest of the team, Warriors Charge, Dot Matrix, etc., etc. Most of all, of course, I want to thank all of you, our listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. Reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out to us through the website, the newly revamped inthemoneypodcast.com. I promise I'll give out that voicemail again soon. I just don't have it in front of me, but it would be fun to do another voicemail episode sooner rather than later. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos!